Good evening. This is Jeremy Feldman here, Tuesday evening, May 11th. Tonight's share is sponsored by the Yaros family to commemorate the yard site of Neil's mother, Malka Fega Bas Naftali Yisrael.
Good evening. We are, as we know, very significantly into Sfirat HaOmer at this point. Close to two-thirds done, so it's an appropriate time to finally speak about the concept as a whole, also in conjunction with the fact that we just read Parshas Emor, also source in the Torah for this mitzvah, so we should give it a little bit of attention. As we know, there is a period between Pesach and Shavuos in which we count all of the days, 7 complete weeks, adding up to a total of 49 days of the Sefira. And there is a little bit of a question as to whether our performance of that nowadays, is that a mitzvah min haTorah or a mitzvah derabbanan? On the one hand, it seems like it should be a mitzvah min haTorah. It's clearly in the Torah. We just read it. On the other hand, perhaps most of the Rishonim understood that that mitzvah was connected to the Korban HaOmer, so that when the Korban HaOmer is brought, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, so then there's a mitzvah min haTorah to count Sefira as well. But in a time when there is no Beis HaMikdash, when we don't have the Korban HaOmer, so then counting Sefira is probably only a mitzvah midrabbanan. So that may be the case, whatever it is, whether one assumes that it's a mitzvah min haTorah or a mitzvah midrabbanan, so we certainly have this practice. And it's a practice which is both relatively simple and relatively complex. What we do is relatively simple and pretty straightforward, and we're taught about this mitzvah from our youngest days in school, all the handful of rules that relate. On the other hand, the explanation behind why we do what we do and the various possibilities and understanding it makes it quite a complex topic. So just right off the bat, so just to sketch out the facts, what do we do? So every night, throughout the 7-week period. So we count that night, we say today is 13 days, which is 1 week and 6 days to the Omer, Baomer, whichever it is. There are two important debates in the Rishonim regarding that particular practice. There's a Tosfos appears in Masechus Menachos on Daf Samach Vav and Masechus Megillah on Daf Chaf, both essentially addressing the same points. Two debates among the Rishonim. On the one hand, the question is asked, do we assume that the Omer can only be counted at night? Or is it the case that if the Omer was not counted at night, it will allow you to count during the day as well? So the Tosfos were of the opinion that you could only count at night. And the Bahag had a different view. The Bahag felt it could count during the daytime as well. Then they bring another machlokas, and in this case the Bahag is the machmir. And the question is, if one should miss a day of Sefira completely, so does that interfere with our ability to continue counting? Can you proceed with the Omer if you miss one of the days? So that's where the Bahag thought, no, it's a problem. The Torah tells us that the 7 weeks have to be to Mimos, they have to be perfect. And while no one's perfect, but your Sefira has to be, according to this view, and therefore if you're missing any day, you have a problem. You don't have the mitzvah that the Torah is asking of. And the Tosfos disagreed, and the opinion there was that this is not a problem, and that even if one misses a day, one can continue to count even with a brach. So those are the basic facts. We'll call that step one. Step two in our discussion is, so what do we do about those facts? How do we handle the fact that we have these different positions taken in the Rishonim? So what we do, and again, this part, stage two, we learned this in school, and we know this all our lives, that what we do is we ideally will count at night. If we don't count at night, so we count during the day without a bracha. If we miss a day completely, not at night or during the day, then our counting is only without a bracha from that point on. But if we did count during the daytime, even without a bracha, that allows us to resume with a bracha the next day. So that's, again, a statement of fact. Now the question is why? How do we come up with that whole approach? So here's where we find two very different explanations. The first we'll call the traditional explanation. The traditional explanation to this issue is as follows. The whole question of can you count if you miss a day or not, according to the traditional explanation, is based on a very basic question. The mitzvah of Sfirat Shalomim, is it to be perceived as one big mitzvah, it's one package, counts 49 days towards one mitzvah, or do we see this as 49 separate mitzvahs? Every night there is a mitzvah to count that night's sphere. And the implication being that if we see it as one big mitzvah, so then it becomes a problem to miss any one day. That any part that's missing invalidates the whole, so you have a hole in the bubble somewhere, so the whole bubble becomes flat, and therefore you're no longer performing the mitzvah, you've lost your chance, so you're not able to continue from that point on. That would be the premise. So why is it that we do what we do, that we count during the day without a bracha, and we count without a bracha if you miss a day? So according to the traditional explanation, that has to do with the fact that both of those are disputed points. Counting during the day and counting if you miss a day are both debatable whether you're able to count at those times. And since it's essentially a machlokas, so we take the safest approach. What's the safest approach? I'll count because maybe I'm obligated. Maybe it's a sfeikat d'oraisa, or maybe it's probably a sfeikat d'rabbanan, but even if it's a d'rabbanan, so there's no harm done, so there's no reason not to count, because maybe the view that I'm obligated to count is correct. But I'll also be safe and I won't make a bracha, because since I'm not sure that I can count at this time, so a normal rule is, safek brachos lahakel, if we're not sure about whether we should make a bracha or not, so we leave it out. So that's the safest approach. I'll count during the day without a bracha. It doesn't hurt to count, but I won't make a bracha because I don't want to risk making a bracha I'm not supposed to make. And then the same approach would be true as to why I keep counting after I miss a day without a bracha, because again, I'm not sure if I should be counting or not. It's not focused with Shalom. So count to be safe and leave out the bracha again to be safe. So why is it that if I count during the day without a bracha, then after that I can count with a bracha? So that, according to the traditional explanation, is because of something we call a sfeik sfeika, that we combine two sfeikas together. So let's say one of the ways to explain sfeik sfeika is as follows. We'll use this model. Let's say there's a 50% chance I can count during the day, because there's two opinions. Let's assume for the sake of argument they're equal. So it's 50% chance I can count during the day. There's a 50% chance I can count if I miss a day. But if I counted always during the day, so then there's at least a 75% chance that I can continue. Because already 50% in my favor that I'm allowed to miss a day. And then even if I'm not allowed to miss a day, out of the remaining 50%, so there's still a 50% chance that counting during the day is not called missing. So out of the various possibilities, three out of the four possibilities will allow me to continue counting with a bracha at that point. So now it's not an even suffix, it's not a 50-50 chance, it's a 75-25% chance in my favor, and the truth is probably more, but just to deal with it that way, so there's 75% the odds in my favor, so therefore I should be able to continue from that point. Hi. Right, so I was going to say, that's what I think is probably more, it's really going to say it's 100% chance. Because the same view, the Bahag, who says that I can't count if I miss a day, it's the same Bahag who says that you can count during the daytime. So really, strictly speaking, it's even better than 75% odds, pretty much 100% odds, if you assume that you have to be consistent with who's opinion you're following. So essentially, viewing it that way, you're right, it comes out even better, it comes out really your bases are totally covered. Yes, that seems to be the case. So that's the traditional explanation. The Soloveitchik had a completely different approach. And it's not just the Soloveitchik, Lubavitcher Rebbe had a very similar approach that was printed in his Chiddush of the Urim. And in the Shalosin Shuvas Evan Yakara, you can find a very similar approach as well. It's a little bit less well known than the first two, but he says it as well. So in this approach, the Soloveitchik, Lubavitcher Rebbe, Evan Yakara approach, so the whole issue is presented differently. That really, according to them, everyone agrees that Shvira is not one big mitzvah, but it's 49 separate mitzvahs. And yes, the fact is we make 49 brachos, maybe that's a clue. Now, the truth is not a conclusive clue, because we don't necessarily assume that brachos and mitzvos have a one-to-one ratio, one bracha per mitzvah, and that's it. So the fact that we have 49 brachos, doesn't have to mean that it's 49 mitzvahs, but for now we'll take that as a clue. So, according to this approach, everyone agrees we really do have 49 separate mitzvahs. So if so, why is there a position that if I miss a day, I can't continue? If day 16 and day 17 are separate mitzvahs, so if I miss day 16, so let me count day 17, they shouldn't have anything to do with each other. Why should that be a problem? So according to this approach, the issue is, you're right, day 17 is independent of day 16. But the issue is that we have to understand what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is not simply to say the number 17, but the mitzvah is to count the 17th day. And I can only count that day if I have counted the days beforehand. If the word 17 is only meaningful in counting if there were all the numbers before it. If I'm just starting from 17, that's not called counting. When I say this house is 27 Queen Anne Road, so I haven't counted it. I'm just identifying this house. It's only meaningful as counting if I counted the first 26 numbers also. So that's how they explain that that's the reason why if I miss a day, I have a problem. So according to this, why is it that we count during the day without a bracha? So the Rav, you count without a bracha during the day because it's actually not a mitzvah to count during the day. So if it's not a mitzvah, why do I bother counting at all? What am I accomplishing? So what I'm accomplishing is that I'm preserving the Seder. I now have a structure. So if I want to count the day after, it's called counting because I counted all the days till now. So essentially, that would explain both why we count during the day without a bracha and why we resume counting with a bracha after doing that. Not because of a suffix in the first case, not because of a fake in the second case, but because what I'm trying to do is preserve the structure, and this gives us an important chiddush here, that apparently it's possible to accomplish that. It's possible to preserve the counting structure separate from the mitzvah sphere. I could do something that would not be a fulfillment of the mitzvah sphere as Omer, but it would be worthwhile in that we will preserve the structure to allow me to continue counting after that. So that's all very complicated, but essentially what emerges for what I'd like to focus on here is that the position in Rishonim, the Baha'i's view, that missing a day is a problem. So we have accepted that into our practice to a large degree. And we have essentially two views as to what that represents. Either we have the traditional view, that it represents the possibility that Sphira is one big mitzvah, and a whole anywhere is a whole everywhere. The whole mitzvah becomes invalidated. And according to the Soloveitchik's view, no, Sphira is not one big mitzvah, it's 49 separate mitzvahs. But the problem with missing a day is that it's not called counting anymore. It's not going to have that continuity that we need in order to be called to call it counting. So what difference does it make? So it makes a difference for a lot of things. It really redefines our perspective on the whole Sphira Salomar concept. And we'll start with one issue that sounds theoretical, but as we'll see, it's really practical as well. So the first off, the theoretical part. So let's say a person misses day 17. So okay, so now he has a problem counting from here on in. But what about the first 16 days? Did that all go to waste? So we say those first 16 days didn't accomplish anything? And perhaps the brachos that were recited, those first 16 brachos, are on some level levatala, they're all for waste? So that's our question, and it seems to depend very much on your perspective here. But if you feel the issue that keeps me from counting after I miss a day is that it's all one big mitzvah, and any hole is a problem, so the truth is it's not only a problem for the future, it's also a problem for the past. The past will say what's done is done, but again, theoretically, it casts the problem backwards as well. While if you take the Soloveitchik's approach, that it's a problem in counting and building on the structure, so then missing a day causes a problem for the days afterwards, but wouldn't have any impact on the days before. So if I miss day 16, the first 15 days that I counted, should all be fine. So again, it's theoretical, right? So open Shemayim, we'll figure out what difference does it make to you. So it does make a difference in a couple of scenarios. For example, let's say a person knows for sure that he's going to miss a day. Let's say, for example, he's going to have some major surgery and he's going to be knocked out, he's going to be under for more than a day. So he knows he's going to miss a day. So maybe we should tell this person that he shouldn't even start. Why get involved with reciting brachos when the whole process, you know, is not going to make it to the end? Maybe you shouldn't start counting with a bracha. While, according to a 12 Asics approach, it shouldn't be a problem. Let him count until he misses, and then when he misses, then he won't be able to count afterwards. But up until then, it'll be fine. And that's a more absolute case, but once you consider that, you can also go to less definite cases. Like let's say, for example, you have somebody who's 127 years old. And for the past 114 years, every single year, he never made it past day three. So you say, that's a pretty solid chazakah that he's probably not going to make it through. So then maybe we should tell this person, listen, you shouldn't start with a bracha because it's clear you never make it. So maybe it's not worth taking such a risk if you know it's pretty heavy chance you're not going to finish. So then that would also depend on the same question. That do we assume it's going to be a problem even retroactively? Or is it only a problem from here on in? Which would also impact, and this is a much more common possibility, far more common, than Mishnah Berurah's suggestion about women. And Mishnah Berurah has a suggestion that women should not count Sefira with a bracha. Now, even if we are to assume, which makes some sense, that Sefira is a mitzvah sasei shazman grama, so then, yes, it would be the case that women should be exempt, but we normally take the position that women are allowed and perhaps encouraged to volunteer to do mitzvahs that they're exempt from, and the position of the Ashkenazi Rishonim is that they're even allowed to make a bracha to sit in a sukkah, take a lulav and esrog of all of that, which they're technically exempt from, so they do with a bracha. So why not here? So Mishnah Berurah's concern is that maybe they'll forget a day, and then why get involved with all those brachos, because then they'll all be problematic. Now, it's not Stam Shovin's comment saying that the women are more likely to forget than the men, even though there is the aspect of going to shul, which may make a big difference. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the point is, even if the odds of forgetting are the same, but men are obligated, so they do what they can. But if women are not obligated, maybe it's not worth volunteering to entail this risk of a brachol of a tala when there's no real obligation. So that, again, would all be flowing from the traditional approach, while if one takes the Salvatrix approach, then there isn't really a risk at all. You go until you miss, and then if you miss, then from that point on, then we would have a problem. That's one area in which the two explanations play out very differently. Another area where it's more in terms of how they explain something is the following. There is an interesting din, the Shulchan Aruch quotes Rashi. Rashi is quoted in the Maaretz HaVitri, it was a sefer written by a Talmud of Rashi's. So there is an approach dealing with a dilemma. Let's say you go to a shul where they daven Maariv after Plaga Mincha, which certainly you might see on a Friday afternoon this time of year. During the week we don't see it so much nowadays, people davening Maariv that early, but it's certainly a possibility. Especially in the time of the Rishonim, there was no artificial lighting, so people had to be home after dark. So essentially it was much more common that people would daven Maariv early after Plaga Mincha. It's an issue that the Rishonim talk about really in the beginning of Shas, first Mishnah, Brachos, Rashi, all Rashi and Tosfos, the Rishonim were all dealing with that aspect. So if the Maariv they're going to is before dark, after Plag, you have the following problem. Maybe, let's say, the shul are going to count Sefira then. So here's your problem. On the one hand, if you count Sefira then, so the truth is there's a minority view in Poskim that that is acceptable at the time for Sefira Salmer, because for some intents and purposes, we see that Plaga Mincha is already considered to be night. But presumably the majority of you is going to say, no, you're going to want to wait till after Shkia or Chase, and self the question, please, after some part of night. So I'd rather be on Machmir and I'll wait until it's pitch black outside in order for me to do Sefira. there's a risk. If I wait then I'll be home alone, and no one's going to remind me to count. So there's a possibility I'll forget, and I'll forget the next day, and I'll be out of the game. So what's a safer move? Should I count early and have the minority view on my side? And then presumably I can't count again later because I don't want to make a bracha twice, and accept that minority view? Or should we say, no, take upon your chumrah and wait till the absolute time, but then take the risk of missing it completely, which would certainly be a worse alternative. So the view attributed to Rashi that the Shulchan Aruch writes and expands on a little bit is that after Plag HaMincha he would count without a bracha. And then later on, at night at home, he would count with a bracha. That's a difficult position to understand, because if what he was doing before, after Plag, accomplished something, so how could you count later with a bracha? And if it didn't accomplish anything, so why bother? That's a hard position to understand. So on the side of the page of the Shulchan Aruch, they explain the Tatzav like this. But what you have here is the following. You have an approach that's based on a controversial concept, a concept not everybody accepted, but the Shulchan Aruch accepted, that we have a notion of a t'nai b'mitzvah, that you can do a mitzvah conditional. So what you're doing is you're basically making a deal with yourself. So when you count after Prague, you say, I'm doing this conditionally, that if I should forget to count later, I want this to count as a mitzvah. But if I should remember to count later, then this should be nothing. This should retroactively be proven to be nothing. So if that's the case, so then that could explain it, because you can count later with a bracha, because when you count later, you negate this first count. And the first time you count, presumably without a bracha, because first of all, this may end up getting negated, hopefully will. And also, it's a suffix if you can really count them anyway, so you count the first time without a bracha, and then the condition will allow you to count later with a bracha. So that's one possibility. And that would be consistent with the traditional approach. The Soloveitchik's approach, which also could work with that approach as well, but the Soloveitchik approach allows for a different understanding. That according to this approach, you could say, no, when I count after Plag, the reason I wouldn't make a bracha then is because I don't believe it's a time yet this year at all. So it's essentially not a mitzvah. So if it's not a mitzvah, why do I bother counting? Because it establishes the structure. So even if it turns out later that I missed the day, even if we find that that day got skipped, so then it's not a problem. I can rely on my post-plag counting to have the structure established. Now this is a chiddush, because this is telling us that we can apparently mark the day during a time which isn't the day itself, a time right before the day, right from across the border, we can assign a number, and even if that's a time when it's too early to do the mitzvah, it's not a problem. So maybe you can do it backwards. So the truth is, Mr. Brewer quotes from Rav Haigon, a view that says just that. Now, it doesn't seem to be practiced. You don't seem to put this in the practice. But it's interesting that Mr. Brewer does quote it, that, let's say it's day 27. Person goes to shul from Ireland and counting 27, and he realizes he missed the previous day. He can say, yes, today was 26, and today is 27. So again, why has that not been accepted into practice? I'm not sure, but again, it's in the Mr. Brewer. And that's the other direction. So apparently you can point just over the border from the north, you can point just over the border from the south, and you can mark the day even without being in the zone for the mitzvah, you can still preserve the structure that way. So that's another interesting application of these two approaches. There are many other applications. See how many we have time to note. There is a very popular question which for some reason only became popular with the Minchas Chinuch. Brought this to everyone's attention, even though it was a very relevant issue before him, because it's relevant to 1/7 of the population at some point in their lives, at one point in their lives, that let's say a person has a bar mitzvah, a bar or a bat mitzvah, to the extent we'll assume this is an obligation on women as well, a person becomes an adult during the period of sphere. So that's going to happen to a little bit less than 1/7 of the population. 7 weeks of the year is a little bit less than 1/7 of the year. So statistically, that percentage of the population will have a birthday then. So if your birthday is in Sfira, you become bar mitzvah during Sfira. So what happens? Let's say bar mitzvah is on the 13th day of Sfira. So essentially, you're not credited for mitzvahs before your bar mitzvah. You're not chayav in mitzvahs. So whatever you were doing then shouldn't really count, presumably. So therefore, it seems that as far as the mitzvah of Sfira is concerned, you're entering the game on day 13. Now, if an adult were to come to you and say, listen, I forgot to count the first 12 days, I want to start now on day 13, so we'll say, that's a problem, you can't miss days. So maybe we should say the same thing to a bar mitzvah boy. And maybe we should say the same thing, a little less common, to a convert, someone who wants to convert to Judaism during Sfira. Maybe we should say the same thing. It's welcome to the clan, but you'll start counting with the bracha next year. But coming in the middle is not a possibility. So this is a big issue which a lot of Svarim talked about, and again, it's most famously associated with the Milchas Chinuch. And you essentially find three camps, and many different sub-explanations for each position, but essentially we have three schools of thought. On the one hand, we have the Machmirim, like the Avni Nezer and others, and the Chidah as well, that the Machmirim maintain that you're right, you can't start Sfira in the middle, and they have to wait till next year. And now they count without a bracha, and the next year they'll count with a bracha. On the other hand, you have the Mekilim. The Mekilim maintain that, no, even if you only start counting Bechlal on day 13, that's fine. Because the whole issue here is tamimus, it has to be complete and perfect. And that refers to whatever your obligation is. So if your obligation is from day 1 to day 49, anything missing from that set is a problem in tamimus. But if your obligation only starts on day 13, so then tamimus for you means 13 to 49. It's a little bit of a harder explanation to really swallow, but that's the position that some take. In the middle, so you have kind of compromise view that says we'll allow the bar mitzvah boy or the ger to count with a bracha if he was counting beforehand. So it's hard to understand because beforehand, so what the child was doing was not called the mitzvah, or what the non-Jewish individual was doing is not called the mitzvah. So why should we credit that as being anything? So there are a number of explanations, and the Chasinah has a couple of interesting rayas, how you can consider it a mitzvah. Others take that position as well. But according to the Soloveitchik, so you could say very simply, you could say that they'll say it's not a mitzvah. It doesn't have to be. It'll preserve the structure, just like the other examples we've seen. And therefore, when he comes in as an adult to day 14, so then he can continue counting from that point on, because he has a structure from beforehand. Similarly, there was also a discussion that the Nod of Yehuda dealt with. That, let's say you have a situation, Achmar Lutzlan of Aninus, that somebody loses a close relative and is then prohibited in doing mitzvos, exempt, and we assume prohibited in doing mitzvos between that time and the funeral. So what if it's more than 24 hours between the Petira and the funeral, and the person's going to miss the whole day of Petira? So if we assume that he's not permitted to perform mitzvahs during that time, so then he's going to have to forfeit his Petira, it looks like. So according to a Soloveitchik approach, we don't have to say it that way. You can say he can count during the day. It won't be a mitzvah. And that will still preserve his ability to count from there on in. There are a number of other related issues. There is another position that's a little different than this, but is similar in some ways to Soloveitchik's position. The question was raised by the Rishonim, by the Balamor in the end of Pesachim, and others, as to why is it that we don't apply the concept of Sfeika D'Yoma to Sfira? Why don't we say that just like on Pesach, so we have an extra day of Yom Tov, and so the day when Sfira starts should be a little unclear, at least in theory, should be not either the second day of Pesach or what we would have called the third day of Pesach. Then maybe we should be machmir to count 2 days, just like we do with all the other mitzvahs, all the other Yom Tov. So Baal Mor has his approach to this, but there was a well-known answer that was suggested by the Dvar Avram. The Dvar Avram was the Rav of Kovno. And he explains that the issue is that we require for Sefiras HaOmer that you have to be counting. Counting means that you have to really be assigning a number. You can't just say a number. You can't just say today is six. You have to count the sixth day. And therefore, it's apparently conceptually not possible to count Misafik. You can't say, yeah, today is six, or seven, or seven, or eight, et cetera, et cetera. You have to actually be counting. So that's similar to the Rav's position in that it highlights the fact that we're not just talking about saying a day, but that saying of a day has to be an act of counting, which A, might not be considered counting if you don't have all the days beforehand, and may not be considered counting if you don't really know that that's what it is. So that raises a chumra, practically speaking, which some of the Sfarim talk about, Milchat Yitzchak and others. So what, forget to make it the Yom, what if somebody really doesn't know? So you're going to say that this person can't cover his bets and say, count the day, say the Nusach for the eighth day and the Nusach for the ninth day. It's a little hard to say. I could say an even bigger chumra. But let's say he guesses it's the ninth day, and it turns out he's correct. So we say, no, no good, because he did it misafik. He wasn't sure. It would require him to actually know. So that's a big chumra. I don't know if anybody practically would actually come to that conclusion. But some of the posts can discuss that based on that suggestion. It's interesting to note that the Gemara says in Masechus Menaches that there's a mitzvah to count the days and there's also a mitzvah to count the weeks. So does that mean it's two separate mitzvahs? So it's not so clear from the Gemara, but it's pointed out that we said before is machlokas harishonim, whether the sphere is a mitzvah in our Torah or a mitzvah in the Rabban. So there is an in-between position. There are many Ruchim splits them. I believe he says that the days are Minat Torah and the weeks are Midrabban. So based on that, the Beis Halevi has a short tshuva in which he suggests, not necessarily conclusively, but he suggests that maybe we should see the two as two separate mitzvos, and therefore even if one misses one, he's not necessarily additive to the other. So even if one misses days, one misses the day, and therefore he's additive game as far as counting a bracha, or counting the days of the bracha, maybe on the weekdays, on the whatever day of the week it is that year, this year it's Wednesday, whatever day it is, that is always a full week, so maybe one should be able to make a bracha on those days. There's a suggestion that he has. So that's also perhaps a relevant issue. So this whole split between the possibility of days and weeks, the fact is we count days and weeks together. So some suggest that even though we have a practice to not say what day is here it is until you've actually counted, which is a problem right now, because normally it's there's an advantage. You want to talk about a topic on the day when it's happening, so normally it makes a double ito mato. It's normally an especially appropriate time to talk about something. But here is the one time that's awkward, that if I'm going to identify the festival that we are beginning now, then it could be that by identifying that festival, I might possibly count Sfira, and because of the time of day it is right now, I haven't actually done that yet, and therefore maybe doing so now, maybe identifying this special occasion, might preclude me from making a bracha on it later. You'll have to guess why it is that we didn't say that. So that it's going to be totally confusing for people listening to the tape. So that idea that you're not supposed to say the day, because we're worried that if you say the day, maybe that'll be considered counting, and then afterwards maybe you can't count with a bracha because you already fulfilled the mitzvah. So it's a good question if after the fact if we'd really be machmir on that. The Shulchan Aruch says to avoid doing it, but it's a good question whether it really knocks you out of making a bracha later. Because at some point out, maybe we could be makom that if one as the practice is, everyone normally counts in this formulation of days and weeks. So if one just says the days, today is 17th of Yom or whatever, and doesn't say today is 2 weeks and 3 days, so then maybe he's essentially indicating that this is not his mitzvah sphira. Maybe he's showing that he has negative kavana, that he has a lack of kavana for this to be the mitzvah sphira, assuming that it needs kavana. So that would also then mean, if we assume that your kavana has the ability to take care of this problem, so then one would say that we don't have to necessarily look for clues. If somebody wanted to answer the question of what day is here is and wanted to say, I have kavana not to be counting, and then say the day, then that should work. Then the question would be, so what if he would do that? He's so proud of himself, how machmer he was. Then the next day he realizes he forgot to ever count. So then this trick might come back to bite him. So again, according to the Rav's approach, maybe not so much, because maybe, yeah, it did bite him in the sense that he lost the mitzvah that day. So that's not so good. But as far as being knocked out totally, maybe he's not knocked out totally, because he still preserved the structure, even though he may not have had the mitzvah for that night. There is a very interesting askamina of this question that I saw in the Shuvas Evan Pina of Rubin Sion Nesha, on one of his other farm. Yeah, one of his farm has the following suggestion, following issue. Let's say as follows. There is a debate, it's also worth noting, there is a debate among the latest farm as to whether or not you can fulfill the mitzvah of Svira through Shomea Ka'ona. Now, we're not talking about the bracha of Svira. That certainly, if you hear somebody make the bracha on Svira, you can fulfill the bracha that way. And that's what some people do if they are knocked out for whatever reason, they have a suffering to listen to somebody else's bracha. But what about the statement itself of Svira? Today is 13 days, whatever it is. Can you do that through Shomea Ka'ona? So there are those who maintain, yes, why not? It's a mix of speech. Seems like it should work. And there are others who thought not, because they make a drasha, which is really a chiddush, because it's not really in the Gemara this way, but then the Torah says, a svartam lachem, so maybe you say, shetahei, shkira, lakalecha, ziachem, mehem, mechem, so therefore, you have to do the mitzvah yourself. You can't do it through somebody else. Now, even if you say that, so then you still have to say another chiddush to say that Shomea Ka'ona is not called doing it yourself. Maybe that is called doing it yourself. That has to do with the whole lumdus of Shomea Ka'ona, which is a different topic. If that's the case, though, so then that, let's assume that one can do Svira through Shomea Ka'ona. So it was an interesting question raised as follows. So let's say somebody wanted to do that. Let's say the first 14 days of Svira, he went over to his friend's house every night, and he heard him say Svira Salman. Days 1 through 14 that way. Then he goes on vacation, this guy. So from day 15 to 21, he's somewhere else, and he makes his own sphere. Then he comes back on day 22, he wants to go back to his original friend, and his friend's like, I have bad news for you. I can't help you out anymore, because on day 22, I forgot, so I'm out of the game. So now, maybe the guy who's listening says, wait a minute, so I have a problem too. Because the first 14 days, I was listening to his sphere, and I was going to stay with him. But now we see that later on, he got knocked out of the game. So now, the retroactively, all those days didn't count. So those first 14 days, I was being yotze with somebody who wasn't really being yotze. And therefore, I wasn't doing a mitzvah either. I was being yotze with him. So now I'm knocked out also, even though I remembered every single night, and I slept over at his house, and I did whatever I had to do. I'm now knocked out also, because maybe my sphere shouldn't count, because whatever amount of days turned out not to be a mitzvah at all. So according to Rav the Prosh, he wouldn't have this question at all. Because first of all, he wouldn't get knocked out retroactively. And even if he would get knocked out retroactively, then he still would have been preserving the structure for the first guy, so it wouldn't really be a problem. But it's interesting, there are many different components to that shaila, figuring out exactly how Svira works, how Shomea Ka'ona works, how Svira and Shomea Ka'ona work together. There are 6 or 7 angles to pursue on that question, but it was worth mentioning an interesting combination of a number of the factors that could come up here. I just want to mention before we run out of time, a little bit al pi derech hadrush. So I believe the title of this night's talk was advertised talking about Svira Salma and the unnameable occasion. So the unnameable occasion doesn't really have much of a relevance to the mitzvah sphere per se, except that it has to do with the later observance of Shemitah, of Svira, that Svira has adopted a character that comes really post-Talmudically of a period of mourning. And the period of mourning, some debate as to what it's about, but there is this cryptic statement in the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, where the Gemara says that during the time between Pesach and Shavuos, it was some kind of a terrible machla, and thousands of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died. And therefore that's when it connects to the unmentionable day, because on that day that's when they stopped dying, so that has a different character in terms of the Avelos is concerned. So the question is always asked, it's an unbelievable idea. You know, what does it mean? This whole idea that Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, they died, the Gemara says, I think I left this part out, the Gemara says, why did they die? Because Al-Swanogu covered Zelazah. They didn't treat each other with respect. It's a very hard idea to understand. But how could it be Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva's slogan, as we read 2 weeks ago, V'yahavtu arecha kamofa, says Rabbi Akiva, Zekla Garul Batara, this is the big principle upon which the whole Torah is based. So the Talmidim, they didn't happen, they didn't treat each other with respect. How could that be? So perhaps one could say, you know, a little bit Alpi Derech Hatzah, Derech Hadrash, that of course they realized the importance of treating each other respectfully. However, they had other priorities, that if you're on your way to a huge event, if you're on your way to hear Rabbi Akiva's shir, it's the biggest thing going on in the world, the Gadol Hador is giving his lecture. So you might think, I have to get to that, and whoever I have to knock over on the way, whoever's foot I have to step on while I'm running there, how could that be as important as the shir that I'm getting to? You keep your eye on the prize, you're going to the key this year. That's the biggest deal in the world. So perhaps the point of Sphira is the time when we prepare to receive the Torah, when we go from Pesach to Shulis in anticipation of making ourselves ready for the receiving of the Torah. So the message of Sphira is that as much as we have to count towards that and we have to keep our eye on the prize, but we also have to count everything in between. That it's not just one big package, but it's 49 separate mitzvahs, and that every day along the way has to be counted, and that we have to take a recognition of every step along the way. And if we don't, then we are failing to appreciate the message and are failing to be worthy transmitters of Torah to the next generation. So therefore, this is what the Chiddush is coming to tell us, that Sphira means we have to not only look toward the finish line, but we have to count every step along the way. And that, perhaps, is what Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim didn't totally catch, and therefore their focus on the goal, their focus on the Torah that Rabbi Akiva was transmitting, allowed them, perhaps, to be somewhat blinded to what was along the way. Hi. With different practices. If you look at the Bible, Mishnah Berurah, it just explains you have all the different traditions. Where exactly they came from, it's not 100% clear. We have essentially three schools of thought. We assume that the Gemara is telling us that there's 33 days of mourning in between Pesach and Shavuos. So some are not for the whole period, because they assume that if you take out Shabbos and Yom Tov and all the days, and you don't have Avelos, so then that leaves you with 33 days. Others assume it's the first 33 days getting us up to Lag BaOmer. And others still say that Nisan is not an appropriate time for mourning, so therefore if we start on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so that gives us 33 days. That gives us 33 days. Beyond that, we don't really know much more about how we those develop, but that's what we have in our canon. So essentially the message being that this time of Sphira is a time when we have to be preparing ourselves, not only counting to buy the time, but counting to prepare ourselves for this role of being a Kabbalah HaTorah and transmitting it. And therefore that requires that we have this appreciation not only of that end finish line, but of everything that happens in between. And we'll just add one more shaila that was discussed in the context of the whole Sphira Salmer question. So we mentioned before that it's a question whether Sphira is Daraisa or Drabbanon, but a lot of the Rishonim assumed that Sphira is Drabbanon of Zman HaZeh because we don't have a Beit HaMikdash. So Mikdash Elazar, Minkach Rabbi raised the question, so what would happen if we would have a Beit HaMikdash? What if a Beit HaMikdash would show up in the middle of Sphira? So would we say that year that it would become Minat Torah in the middle? Or would we say that, no, just like you can't enter Sphira in the middle, just like you can't skip the first few days and start counting then, just like we have a shaila about the Bar Mitzvah boy and the Ger, so it would be a problem for Klal Yisrael to accept the Sphira on a level of Minat Torah in the middle of the year, they'd have to wait till the next year. So we see a couple different approaches, don't really know what the answer is, We'll say that if we properly internalize the message of Siras Almer and the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, so then we should be zeichah to have such tzaylos. Zeichah that that should be the tzaylos that we're figuring out. So just let's go to Meir, but just to quickly recap, we spoke about the question of how we count Sira the way we do. Machlokes, if you can count during the day, if you can count if you miss a day. Our practice is to count during the day and after a missed day without a bracha. But if you count during the day, we'd like to resume with a bracha. I share some explanation. There's a question of one mitzvah versus 49 mitzvahs. Counting without a bracha during the day and after a missed day because of the safek, and resuming after that because of the safek. And our basic approach was that it's really 49 mitzvahs according to everybody, but if you miss a day, it's a problem because the definition is counting. And you count during the day without a bracha only to maintain the Seder. And then we talked a little bit about some of the different applications of that, about how that would affect the question of what happens retroactively to the days that were missed, which would affect the question of whether one should undertake Sphira if he has a strong concern of missing a day. We talked about how this explains the two different ways, the position that you should count after Plag without a bracha and count again with a bracha later. Discussed how it affects the question of the Bar Mitzvah boys, the question of the Onin Rahman al-Islam, the question of why we don't have a Sfeika de Yoma, and can you count Mishafik, and can you count even the right number of Mishafik. All of that related to the position of Bar Avram, that counting Mishafik is not called counting. And we talked also about this creative question about what if somebody is Yoytif Yishmeik only to somebody else, and then that person misses a day, is it retroactively a problem for the guy listening? And then we talked about the whole concept of the unmentionable occasion and how that impacts on the morning of Siras Almer and the whole structure of the Siras Almer and Higas Kavod Zelazah, that maybe the notion is that we have to count the steps along the way and realize that we can't only be focused on what's coming at the end. And then we use that to also look at the question of Minchas Elazar, who raised the issue of what would happen if the Beis Hamikdash we built in the middle of Sphira, so would we switch to a Mishmar Torah in the middle? And we just concluded without answering that we should be able to have such hours. Okay, I will issue a one.